Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We're coming to you live from Harper Woods, Michigan. I am no longer residing in Detroit, Michigan. I am now residing in Harper Woods, Michigan. Thank God. So that's where we're coming to you live from tonight. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, where we bring forth God's word once again on tonight. As we all know, and for the new listeners, he always shares with us inspirational poems first. So he's going to do the same thing on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please pray with me. Why? Because we serve an awesome God who can not only hear, but he can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. It is in his name we come once again on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. You've allowed us to wake up and see without hurt, harm, or danger. We're so grateful in the name of Jesus. We come, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer, in Jesus' name, all over the land, forgive us, because the word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we're so grateful on tonight for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And through him, we can be redeemed because of his shed blood on the cross, and we can continue to fulfill our God purpose. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise for our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we come now asking that you will move by your spirit on tonight. Should there be any listeners, just tune in, that are still spiritually blind, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your man of God on tonight that will touch and prick their hearts to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess their sins and transgressions. They will ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and save them, even unto tonight. They will also come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their own indivisible God purpose in the earth for your glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy again. We can't thank you enough for it. We ask now, Heavenly Father, that you will move by your Spirit, touch, heal, and strengthen those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch and strengthen their bodies, Heavenly Father, as only you can, because we do know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders, even on tonight, and it's all for your glory. And also, Heavenly Father, we lift up all those that are dealing with bereavement on tonight. Comfort and strengthen them as only you can. We lift up our sister in Christ, Deaconess Janet Dogan, and her great loss this last week. And we pray that you will comfort and strengthen her and her entire family, also Deacon Dogan. And also we come lifting up my bishop and pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, the Greater Shield of Faith Church family, the Morning Star Baptist Church family, and Pastor Isaiah Tillman, Jr., and his wife, Sister Jean Tillman, the First Lady of Morning Star Baptist Church, and all churches, Heavenly Father, that you have appointed and anointed and have called to be existence in the world today, where your word is going forth with power. People are being healed and delivered and strengthened through your word in the sanctuaries. Heavenly Father, even though we're not physically able to go into the house of worship, we can still give you glory, honor, and praise through the worldwide web and through the internet and worldwide media outlets. So your word is still going forth with power. So we're even grateful. We ask that you will have your way on tonight. We pray that your word will go out. We know that it's not going to come back void, because your word always comes back, and it accomplishes everything that you set forth to do, so it never comes back void to you. You will be glorified, is our prayer, in the name of Jesus. So have your way. Continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts, is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Help us to decrease on tonight, so that you may increase in us, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought for tonight, and it comes to us simply saying, running into love. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought, running into love. Now, who is this love? Who are we running into when we talk about love? We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. So that's our spiritual food for thought for tonight, running into love. I do want you all to know that I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. We're getting ready to go to our music break right now. And then following the music break, I do pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox, especially for the new listeners, because he always shares with us inspirational poems first, and then we're going to go directly to God's Word. So you need your Bibles, you need your pens and paper to take notes. So we're going to go to our music break, and then following the music break, we're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. But before I do that, I will have one announcement that I would like to make. I told this young lady on yesterday that I would make an announcement on her behalf. And for those of you that are living in the Michigan area, if you want a great discount or a great deal for your phone service or your internet service, you can always contact a young lady named Sasha. Sasha, S-H-A-S-A. Sasha, she's an AT&T representative. And her cell phone number is 313-615-9154. Again, Sasha is an AT&T representative, and she knows her job well, and she will give you a discount. If you call her and mention my name, she will give you a great discount. If you are seeking a new service, or I highly recommend Representative Sasha. Again, she's a representative of AT&T, and her phone number is 313 area code 615-9154. So we're going to go to our music break now, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break.
You
Jesus Christ, God's only begotten beloved Son, in whom he said he is well pleased. Aren't you grateful on tonight that he thought that your life and my life were worth living, that he sacrificed his own life, and he shed his precious blood, his sinless blood, his holy and righteous blood on the cross for you and for me. And for everyone that's not yet saved in Jesus' name, even for you, if you're listening on tonight, and you know you're not saved in Jesus' name, yes, he died for you too. So you have a chance. If you can hear my voice on tonight, you have an opportunity. It's the choice is yours. And I love how God gives us an opportunity. He let us choose. He don't force himself on anyone. He is a gentleman. God, Jesus, they are gentlemen. They do not force themselves on anyone. So the only way anyone can be saved is you're listening on tonight. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you're not saved in Jesus' name. You have not accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. You have not asked him to come into your heart and save you. Guess what? The only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way. So right now, we are so excited once again to have Deacon Marvin Cox on the line. Once again, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem, and then he's going to go and directly into God's Word. So I pray that you have the Bible and pens and paper ready. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. Once again, thank the Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I thank the listeners for their support just by listening. Once again, this is an awesome responsibility that has been bestowed upon me, and I don't take it lightly. And I know sometimes in giving thanks, I know the Bible says that we're not supposed to bring forth a repetitious prayer. But if we just say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, that's a repetitious. It's not a prayer, but it's just a repetitious recognition. My wife, I tell her, say, baby, do you ever get tired of me telling you that I love you? And her answer is no, because I want to reinforce that. And I tell enough that she believe and know that I'm saying the truth to her. But it's not about that right now. Right now I'm going to bring forth the word to you. And the Lord gave me an unusual composition to bring to you tonight. And it's called Jesus at the Gym. That's right, I said Jesus at the Gym. Said the Lord was saying at the gym the other day, the people were really surprised to see him there. As the crowd began to gather around him, a curiosity seeker inquired of him and asked, Lord, what are you doing in a place like this? The Lord responded, I come here all the time. Most people come here for the wrong reasons. What a wonderful place for one to come to exercise their faith and work out their soul salvation at the same time. Whether you know it or not, I'm the undisputed world champion weightlifter who have been lifting heavy burdens off of people that no man can budge. Do you think that Atlas held up the world? Well, I hold up the whole universe. I'm also a personal trainer who teaches people how to build up endurance to run life's race, which is a marathon and not a sprint. I'm also the best swimming instructor who teaches people how to stay afloat in these hard times and how not to drown in sin. Most of you are familiar with my resume. However, for those who don't know, I'm a world-renowned nutritionist that tell people a healthy diet of my word will keep them spiritually, mentally, and physically strong. I don't recommend the treadmill because people run and run and run on the treadmill, but they never get anywhere. This place is good if you want to work on your body. If you want to take your spiritual conditioning to the next level, I recommend you come to my Father's house, which has all of the equipment you need to be fit to endure these troubled times. I'm sure there's a church near you that is eager to have you on their membership list. That's no charge. So here at this gym, you pay to get in shape. At my Father's house, you have to pray to get in shape. Amen. I'm going to go immediately into tonight's lesson. As I once again said, it's a good lesson, and I will be reading to you from the 46 number of Psalms from the King James Version of the Bible, the first all the way down to the 10th verse. And I thought it's coming out of the 10th verse, but I have to read the first 10 verses in order to set the stage for the message. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear though the earth is removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that fight early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations be have made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I just read unto you from the book of Psalms, 46 chapter, verses 1 through 10. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Now, our thought tonight is coming out of the 10th verse, which I will read to you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. But our thought is coming from the 10th verse. And it reads, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, we chose a topic for tonight. And the topic is, you're doing too much. Now, according to God and according to the scriptures, there's a war that's going on. And the reason why God is telling us right now that we're doing too much is because we're standing in his way. He's telling us to be still. Why? Because the things that we're trying to do now are the things that we're getting in the way. And the reason I say that we're getting in God's way, it's not because we're hindering him from doing what needs to be done, but it's because he loves us so much. And see, if you ever been a child and you had siblings, whenever one child was being punished, the other child found himself a nice little safe corner to sit in because that wrath might fall upon them. So the rest of us, we be still when mama or daddy is taking care of their business. And see, God is taking care about to take care of his business because there are so many things going on. And see, he wants us to be still. There are several verses in the Bible which tells us to be still, but the only time God tells us to be still, and that's when he's about to declare war upon something or someone, and we're in the way. We're blocking his way. We're going out there and we're doing things that he has told us to do, but it's time for us to just be still. It's time for us to sit back and let God do what he do. Because I know on those occasions when the chastisement was going forth, I thought in my mind that I might be next. I know during the times of thunder and times of storm, my parents used to tell me, they used to say, be still. Once again, be still and let God do his handiwork. So with all the things that's going on around us, with all of the turmoil that's going on around us, everybody should be a Bible scholar by now, because we have had the time to study. Those times that we were going to the house of prayer or involved in worship, we didn't allow other things to take up that time. So we're not being still and with the way in which God wants us to be still. Now I'm going to go over these verses. It said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As I alluded to earlier, it's troubled times right now. We, you know, are focusing so much on the things on Washington, on things that's going on stimulus checks and everything, that we have taken our focus off of God. But see, God wants us to be still. And see, when we be still, we can recognize and notice and marvel in the magnificence of his awesomeness, the magnificence of his majesty. And sometimes we kind of like get ahead of ourselves. The preacher, you're doing too much. We've been told and we've been instructed. And see, sometimes we can get directives or we can get orders, but you know what? We disobey those things. We go out there and we lean to our own understanding. But if you think about it, from March, which was the third month, up until now, which is the 11th month, God has provided us. He has sustained us in our everyday activity. But see, we're taking our focus off of God. We're putting our focus on the elections. We are doing all of these things that he has told us to be still. Now, it was a song that we sing in the Baptist church where it says, "Victory shall be mine. Victory shall be mine." And see, when you say shall is a certainty. If I hold my peace, which means that I have to be still to hold my peace, because other than that, I'm going to explode, and let the Lord fight my battle. Let him fight the battle. Don't get in the way. Move out of the way. Move yourself out of the way because you're hindering God from doing what it is he want to do, not because you stand in the way. But see, I've seen on many occasions when the parents get into a scuffle or something with with someone else, the first thing they do is that they make sure that their child is at safety. They put their child in safety. And there's numerous situations in the Bible when the Lord, when he was going to punish somebody or chastise somebody or make a change with somebody, and he removed his children from out of that vicinity. Why? Because his wrath is so strong. He, in Babylon, when he got so mad at Babylon, he called her a whore, and he reached down into the earth and pulled up Babylon to be seen no more, wiped her off the face of the earth. When Sodom and Gomorrah, he came down to, he sent his angels down so that they could warn the people, so that he could move Lot and his family out of the way. Why? Because he was going to whoop them. He was going to chastise them. He was going to let them know that he's God and he's not playing. And see, sometimes we think that God is gentle, which he is. He's gentle, kind, understanding, and thoughtful. And a lot of times we come to church to hear these preach me happy moments. But see, the preachers, the teachers, the Sunday school teachers, and the deacons, they would be way out of place if all they did was just tell you about the good side of God. But see, God has a wrathful side too, because he lets us know in his word. He says, "Vengeance is mine, and I shall repay." So we ain't got no business when God's going to get ready to pay somebody back. We don't have no business to get in the way. "Oh, that's my wife. I'm going to whoop her. That's my son. He needs a spanking. That's my mother. She shouldn't have did what she did." So I'm just saying to you that when God is in the process and when God is working with somebody, believe it or not, well, we already know that there's nothing that we could do about it. There's nothing that we could do about it. And so I'm going to give you some examples of why we shouldn't get in the way. Because, see, in Psalms, the first Psalms, first chapter Psalm, first division, or whatever they, you know, you want to call it, it lets us know. It said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." See, that individual right there is doing too much. You're doing too much if you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or you're standing in the way of sinners, or you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. God did not instruct us to do these things. But he said, "Blessed is the man that don't do these things." And see, sometimes we can sit back without knowing that we'd be very, very scornful of people. We'd be sit in the seat. We're not supposed to block nobody's way. And see, to block somebody's way, it causes action on our part. You're doing too much. Preacher, I know that you have a love for God, but Ecclesiastes lets us know that it's a time for everything. It's a time to speak, and it's a time to be silent. And because you be silent, and some people expect for you to chastise other people, don't worry about it. That was not the time for you to call that individual out. You don't believe me? Look how Jonah did after he brought that saving word to Nineveh. He went on the side, outskirts of town, and he began to pout. because he thought that he was justified in his thinking that God should have did more against the people than show them mercy. So sometimes when the operation of God, so when that brother or sister or that pastor don't call that individual out, don't think for 1 minute that that pastor, that person of authority, is scared of that individual. But the Lord said, not now, not now. Now, just you, can you imagine sometimes when our children think that they're slick, or some a neighbor think that they're slick and think that they got away with that? That was not the right time to call that individual out. That was not the right time to speak out against that individual. So we have to allow God to step in and give us instructions. As I said earlier, now it shouldn't be everybody that has uplifted the name of the Lord. We should all be Bible scholars because we all have had extra time. All our daily routines have been disrupted because we didn't have the quarantine, or because our places that we frequently go have been closed down, or they have limited hours. But I'm not going to challenge anybody, but it has given me an opportunity to study God's word more, to talk with other people who are studying his word. So God is telling us, he said, be still and know. Not be still and guess, speculate, surmise, think, but be still and know. And see, when you know, it's a certainty, and you know what you know, what you know when you know. Nobody could convince you otherwise. When you know, you don't have to say. If they say, what's your name? You say, well, my name is Brother James Brown. That's something that you know, something that you would speak with a certainty. And speaking of James Brown, it was a song that singer, not Brother James Brown that we're talking to, but the singer. He said, there was a time when I used to dance. And so in that song, he said, everybody relax and watch me work. And this is what God is telling us right now. Relax and watch me work. And if you notice in the scriptures that I just read to you, it's saying the same thing. Verse number 3 said, though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Psalms 121 lets us know, look to the hills. Be still. Because, see, all these other things that we're doing requires activity on our part. But, see, now the time to curl up with a Bible. I know many of us right now, I tell you what we curl up with. We curl up with that remote control. And that remote, we hug that remote control. We feel abandoned if we can't find that remote control. So be still, because it's a war. And God is trying to protect his people from that war. He's trying to protect you from that war. So he's telling us the same way that he told, because of their disobedience. I'm talking about Adam and Eve, when they come to the realization that they were innocent no more. He told them, if I'm just paraphrasing here, he said, sit you dust yourself down. In other words, from dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. So when you tell somebody to sit there, dust yourself down, you're not speaking out of turn. You might say to yourself, well, God don't talk like that. But according to the interpretation of the scriptures, God told Adam and Eve that, hey, you might live, but you're going to surely die. You're going to turn back into the dust from which you come. So when he tells you to be still, and if you look at the composition of man, see, it's enough calcium in a man to make a bar of soap. It's enough iron to make a ten penny nail. It's enough sulfur to make so many candles. So if you think about that and you think about all the elements of the earth, every element of the earth is, even though it might be in minute levels, it's in the body. You got magnesium, you got copper, you got zinc, you got all of these elements, you got helium, you got all of these things, you got nitrates. Why do you think sometimes they treat an individual with cancer with nuclear medicine? You got all of these things, you got the isotopes, you got all of these things in your body. So God is justified in telling us, telling that preacher, "Preacher, I know I commissioned you to go out there, but Ecclesiastes tell you that time is time to be still. It's a time to be silent. Now is not the time to speak. Why? Because if you speak now, you're going to take the focus off of me and put it back on yourself. Because have you ever seen somebody in a lot of places, they require you to be quiet. Because if you're not quiet, you're going to disrupt somebody else in churches, in libraries, in seminars, in classrooms. They require you to be still and to put your focus on the instructor. So God is telling us, he's asking us, he's pleading with us, be still. I'm going to whoop them. I'm going to have vengeance upon them, and I shall repay. Because see, okay, say, but his delight, I'm over in Psalms again, say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And see, you can't meditate by not being still. You have to find yourself a quiet place to meditate. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Okay, now, verse number 4 said, the godly are not so. But if the godly are not so, I want to ask you, got a personal question to ask you, why are we making them so? Why are we spending and wasting so much time on the ungodly? But see, but I like the shaft which the wind driveth away. So that's something for us to think about. And I want you to know that God, he protects those whom he loves. He moves them out the way. He warns them. He shelters them. He directs them to a safe place. Now, what have we been hearing during this COVID-19 situation? We've been hearing something, but we ain't even been paying no attention to it. Even the hardest of the government people, they tell us to do one thing, to shelter in place. When it's a terrorist or somebody's being attacked, what do they do? Say, shelter in place. But see, we're doing too much. We don't want to be still. We want to get out there and get into that activity of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you who some of the people that he protected. He protected the children of Israel. He moved them out the way. Remember I said that he protects people. When those plagues and pandemics, see, there was epidemics at that time. But see, in that known world, it would be a pandemic. But see, a pandemic is a worldwide thing. Epidemic is just local. But see, during the plagues, what did he do? He moved his people out of the way. He told them to put the blood of the lamb over the door to do what? To protect yourself. Now, he protected Job. And Job was silent. He was still with all the calamities that came upon Job when his friends came to him. He sat there, and they sat there for a span, I believe it was 7 days, without speaking. But you could imagine that they were shaking their head. They were saying, Job, you really angered God. But he was still. And see, sometimes we have to be still, because if we're moving in emotion, we lose our focus. We don't have the right frame of mind to receive those things. Sometimes they call it multitasking, but it's not multitasking, because see, a lot of times, I mean, there was no such thing as multitasking a long time ago. Either you was doing something or you wasn't. But see, now people doing more than one thing at a time. And in the process of doing that more than one thing at a time, we're losing out on a lot of things. Why? Because we're losing our life. You don't believe me? Ask the individuals in the graveyard who were out there doing what? Texting while driving. Uh-oh. They're doing too much. We've got to be careful. We've got to concentrate and be still and know. See, because when you know, you're giving something the full recognition that it deserves. You are not fainting on it. You're just concentrating on it and allow it to do what it needs to do. Now, my brothers and my sisters, it's a time for each and every one of us to concentrate. Concentrate on the Lord. Let him do what he do. Let him, whatever plan he has for your life. Now the perfect time during this time to commune with him. Because see, it, at any time, he could wave his hand or snap his fingers or whatever it is that he do, and this situation is over. But see, you see so many people, I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. But see, let's just use just a little bit of common sense, y'all. If you know that it's a danger out there, even if the danger is not a threat to you, don't it seem like it would be in your best interest to take precautions? I mean, when you go out there and you drive a car, first thing you do, they had to make us do it, but it's for our own good. First thing we do now, and then it became law. First thing you do is you buckle up your seatbelt. Why do you buckle up your seatbelt? No, not because you're going to get into an accident, but it is a precaution just in case you do get into an accident. Now, James 1:19 says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. How about that? That's just being still. Okay. Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Wow, so this ain't me talking out the side of my neck. The God's word is telling us to be still. You're doing too much. We need to be resting. You know how your parents used to tell you a long time ago, be still. You know, you're too fidgety. When I was in the hospital, I was just, you know, so fidgety. My wife just took my hand and said, baby, just be still. Because whatever it is that I was fighting, I couldn't beat it. It was getting the best of me. So I had to submit to what it was that God wanted me to do. Now, Psalms 131:2, it says, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. It says a weaned child is a peaceful child. It's a peaceful child that don't have no complaints, that has allowed their mother to do what it is that mothers do. Psalm 62:5 says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Wow. My hope is in the Lord now. So it says, wait in silence. Don't pay no attention to what other people are doing. I mean, we might say, or we might even grow to dislike some people, but their activities as of now is not affecting us or affecting our household like like we say it is. So be still and know that I'm God. You're doing too much. We need to limit our activities. And see, this is happening for a reason. Say, Lord, but why are you shutting down this place, and why are they shutting down that place, and this, that, and other, and so forth? We need to spend more time with him. We need him to come in and sup with us. We need him to give us directions on what our next move might be. So as I say with Psalm 46 and 10, be still. And that's a direct order.
Mm-hmm.
Now Isaiah 32 and 17 say, and the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. Quietness and trust forever. And see, when you're making a whole lot of noise, then, as I say, you're becoming a distraction. You are not allowing God's word. You're not even allowing, you've been doing a disservice to yourself when you do that. Because noise is a distraction. Wherever you're at, if you hear any type of a noise, your head is going to instantly turn in the direction from what you think that noise came from. Or either you're going to say for a split second, what was that? And immediately we know that the Lord can come within the twinkling of an eye. So we got to be on God. We cannot allow. Now, I'm telling you, when we're watching our favorite program, a bomb could go off right next to us and we won't even hear it. Why? Because we are concentrating on that which we're concentrating on. So my brothers and my sisters, it's time to be still and know. Don't guess. Don't speculate. Don't take your neighbor's word for it. Don't agree with that rumor. But know for yourself that God is God. Because once we recognize him, we're going to automatically know who he is, what he represents, what our best interests he have in heart, what he's doing, why he's doing it. We're going to know what the who, what, when, where, and the why. We're going to know all those five W's. We're going to know that God is doing this because they did that. God is doing this because the people have been disobedient. God is doing this because he's weaning out the people. He's separating the wheat from the tares. And when you have understanding of what's going on, that calms your mind. That drives away your fears. So, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for each and every last one of us to be still. We had the opportunity, but in the meantime, have we took advantage of it? Do we really want to be still? Because, see, over the last 40, 50 years, however we are, some of us have, excuse me, no, you ain't going to like me to say this, but a lot of us have programmed ourselves to party. And because the lights at the party have been turned off for the last 8 months, we feel like we lost. A lot of us like to be a part of a big crowd. What about that little bitty crowd? That little bitty crowd that says, wherever two or three of my believing children assemble, agreeing and touching upon the same thing, I'll be a God in them. What about that two or three that the Lord is talking about? Now, I could be a part of that crowd. What about that too? Because, see, can't nobody enter your church building except for the Lord and you. See, that I'm limiting it down to two. What about when you go into your closet, your secret closet? Well, only is there room enough for the Lord and you. I mean, when you go down, when you start using Gmail, start sending up prayers to God, how many is there? That's you and the Lord. At the end of your road, who's going to be there? The Lord and you. The road of repentance. Who is traveling that road? You by yourself. What does it say? You see a stranger every now and then.
Yes,
Lord. So the instructions for tonight is to be still. That's a real, real simple instruction, because we have become too fidgety. We've become too active in other things. But just be still. And I guarantee you, if you be still, see, being still and quiet, it brings about something that we all need, and that's a relaxation. We need to relax in the Lord. Why? Because we have become fidgety in the world. The storm that's going on now about us and around us and in our homes and in our country and our neighborhood, it's time to take our focus off of these things, because if you think about it, I was talking to a brother today, and I want you to think about this. On the TV, lately, we have not been getting nothing but bad news. I mean, bad news after bad news. There's so many people, that's COVID, 10 million and so forth, and 100,000 this and that and so forth and on. See, someone wants you to panic. Someone don't want you to be still. And then we discovered something. We said that it seemed like it's no hope. And we discovered something. We just both had a good laugh about it. Say, guess what? Satan is the king of the airwaves. So he got control of all of this bad news that we just eating like a tuna fish sandwich at lunch. So, I mean, we just eating it and digesting it, then coming back. I mean, and I understand now what the old people used to say about being a glutton for punishment. Because we can't get enough. We just can't wait till morning Joe come on to hear some more bad news about what's going on, about the contrariness of men. We can't wait to see CNN come on, or either if we look at Fox or for Hannity or Cuomo or Anderson Cooper. We just can't wait. Why? Because we're being bombarded. But God is telling us to just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I'm fighting your battle for you. Be still and be able to move yourself out of the way. Because I know if you know, you ever been around a fist fight and you try to get in there, shoot, you end up like they used to do with the old coffee. I haven't seen it in a long time, when they put the little lumps of sugar in the coffee, say one lump or two, you'd end up with a lump or two, or end up being more damaged than the participants in the fight. So be still. That's the word for tonight. Be still and to know. And know. And that's for a certainty. See, when you know, there's no doubt in your mind about it. And know that I'm God. These are God's instructions to you tonight through me. Now, you can take heed to it if you like, or not take heed. You know, God always gives us a choice. But if I were you, I would think about what was being said tonight. And when you be still and relax, that panic that we all have experienced over the last few months will go away. And we watch God in operation, and we search the scriptures, and we discern them in the proper way, we'll know that we're in a safe place. And may God bless you, and may ever keep you, and I now turn you back over to the hands of my brother Brown. And I thank you for the pleasure of your time as well as your company. God bless. Brother Brown.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, Deacon Murray. Thank you for that word of tonight. Yes, because I know for a fact, yes, God took time, he looked low, and he searched in our hearts and our minds. Yes, sometimes we can be doing too much. Sometimes the Lord would let us know. Yes, sometimes we need to just stop, sit down and be still and recognize who God is. Because he is a promise keeper. He's not like man. He don't go back on his word. Once he says something, you can take it to the bank. it's going to happen. It may not happen when you want it to happen, but he's always on time. So we thank you for that word on tonight, and I pray that everyone that has heard this word on tonight, that you have received something that's going to help you and strengthen you along your life journey as you continue to fulfill your God purpose in the earth for God's glory. So, yes, we can be doing, sometimes we can be doing too much. Sometimes we think we're helping, and when we're doing too much, sometimes we're really hurting people or making the situation worse when we are doing too much and we don't really have God in it. And we are leading ourselves by our own bootstraps or trying to pick ourselves up from our own bootstraps, and we are actually standing in God's way, because sometimes we can be a hindrance to God, and we can block our own blessings when we are doing too much. So we thank God for this word on tonight. Thank God for you, Dick and Margaret Cox. And I know that this word has gone out, and it's not going to return void back to God. It's going to accomplish everything that God has set out for to do on tonight, because he knew full well in advance who was going to be listening on tonight. And he knew the word that he had placed in your heart, Dick and Margaret Cox, for the people of God on tonight. Even for those that may be listening on tonight that are scripturally blind and not saved in Jesus' name, this word was for you tonight, too. Yes, if you know that you're not saved in Jesus' name, yeah, you're doing too much. You're too involved into the world. You need to sit down. You need to get on your knees and pray. You need to get in God's word, and you need to pray and ask God to reveal himself to you. You need to ask God to save you in Jesus' name so that you will come to know your own individual God purpose, so that you won't be doing too much. Because sometimes we can be doing too much, and God is not getting the glory when we do too much. In the physical, and God is out of the picture, because we want the focus to be on us, because we're doing too much, and God is not pleased with that. When we are doing too much, that's not going to give him glory. When you're doing too much, and we can never do too much to give God glory, honor, and praise, because, you know what, I like that poem that you opened up with Deacon Marvin Cox. The poem was titled Jesus at the Gym, and you broke that thing down about why Jesus was at the gym. So if you are saved in Jesus' name, yes, we have the Holy Spirit living and residing in each one of us. Thank God for that. But if we are saved in Jesus' name, don't you know that you have a job to do, a responsibility, a command from God himself, that we are to be about our Heavenly Father's business, just like Jesus was when he was in the flesh, when his parents had almost made it home on the journey, and they recognized that Jesus was not with them, and they went back, and they found him in the temple, and he was advising the scholars and the doctors and the lawyers. And he told them, he told his parents, they was angry with him because they thought he was lost. He was telling them, he told his parents, I must be about my father's business. So when you my sister, you my brother, when we are truly about being about our Heavenly Father's business and doing kingdom business and kingdom building here on earth, guess what? You're not doing too much. We cannot do too much for God. We can never do enough for God. We can never do enough for Jesus. Guess why? Because all that he has done for us, knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we will continue to sin even after being saved, even though he knows that sometimes we too can do too much, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood that still works, and it will never lose its power. So we thank God for you once again, Dick and Margaret Cox. And I know that this word has gone out with power, and it has been received by the listeners. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking our listeners, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you are truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that all power in heaven and in earth is still in your hands and always will be in your hands. Thank you that there's nothing too hard or impossible for you to do. Your word lets us know that with God, all things are possible if we believe. So we believe in you, Heavenly Father, by faith, knowing that you are well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. So Heavenly Father, we just love you. We thank you for loving us first. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you that his blood still works and it will never lose its power. So we again thank you for your grace and mercy toward each one of us. We know that we don't deserve it, but we are grateful for it in the name of Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to lead and guide your people, that we will be all that you have called for us to be individually, then as a corporate body of believers for your glory in Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that as you use your men and women of God that you have anointed and appointed, whether they are in the actual physical house of worship tomorrow or whether they are delivering your word through the social media outlets, We pray, Lord, that you would intervene and be in the midst as your word goes forth with power, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow as it goes forth, as that you alone will be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again on tonight, listeners, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Child.